hopefully we'll get to it soon. All Let's right. just right. first Go finish ahead. Up. I'm we good. Started yesterday a discussion about someone who encounters what's called a mes mitzvah. We have to define what that means, a mes mitzvah, someone who needs to be buried. And at the same time, the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael are getting together to read the Megillah. So he has that conflict. And the Mechaber says that in this case of a mes mitzvah she'ein lo kovrin, there's no one to bury him, then first he should be kover, he should involve himself, dedicate himself to burying the dead. Biachakach kore. Now I'm not sure what he means by biachakach kore. Does he mean that it's just that he'll miss the minyan, and maybe he'll read it biyachid, but I'll call upon him in any event, he will be able to fulfill the mitzvah Megillah. Or perhaps he means just to say that in a general case, he'll be able to read the Megillah later, but even in a case where he has no access to Megillah and he won't be able to read the Megillah later, his exclusive mitzvah, because it's top on the totem pole, is Kvuras HaMes. That suffix that we have is in the Mechaber, not in the Ramah, but I'm just saying from the Mechaber's language, it would seem, and this if you go back to the previous page, She'ein davar she'nidche mikra Megillah mifonov chutz mimes mitzvah she'ein lo kovrin. That Megillah is on the top of the totem pole, and there's nothing that would push off mikra Megillah except kvuras mes mitzvah. So it could be that kvuras mes mitzvah would actually trump the mitzvah of Megillah, mikra Megillah, even if it meant that there would be a total loss of the mitzvah of mikra Megillah. In any event, the Ramah has a different approach here. He understands that kvuras mes mitzvah is not limited to someone, a corpse that you find that's lying in the ground, that's lying on the roadside, and there's no one to be metapel to bury the dead. But he adds the words kedei tzarko, that there's not enough people involved, which would be kovrin mes, to bury the mess in the right way, in the proper way. It's not a question of a body that's completely left deserted on the roadside, but rather it's ein lo kovrim kedei tzarko. That's the additional description here that the Ramah adds. So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says that we're not talking about a mess that's, according to the Ramah, that's outside the city, that's left, you know, left to the sky, if you know what I mean, under the sky. But rather, we're talking about a burial that's taking place in the city. The body is in the city. There are people to bury the dead. It's not a bizayon hames. But why are we so urgently involved in this mes mitzvah? What makes it into a mes mitzvah? And the answer is tosefes kavod lo. Mes mitzvah means that if we get involved, and again, way beyond the barest minimum number of people, but we get involved in burying the dead, that's called a tosefes kavod. And for that tosefes kavod, mutar lakdimo. Let's underline the word lakdimo, kodem mikra Megillah, meaning in the priority of which comes first and which gets postponed, we give priority to the tosefes kavod of this mess, even at the expense of postponing mikra Megillah. So this is the only mitzvah that will justify postponing mikra Megillah. But again, he's only talking about lakdimo. He's not talking about a triage situation where he won't, you know, once he finishes with the mess and its burial, he won't have an opportunity at all to fulfill the mitzvah Megillah. And he says the following, that it would seem also from Simon Tofresh Sarivov, that Kvuras HaMes Kodem, that again, we're going to be involved in burying the dead first, but again, we'll get to Megillah a little bit later on. However, the Magen Avraham, I think, is going to interpret the Mechaber literally. I'm not sure how he's going to fit his pshat into the Ramah, but he says that dafka mes mitzvah mamish, the classic, or shall I say, the extreme paradigm case of mes mitzvah is shemotzah mesodah, And then it's a matter of bizoyim. No one's there to bury him at all. And again, this would seem to be reflected by the language of the Mechaber, who says ein lo kovrim, but not by the Ramah, who says kidei tzarko. So I'm a little bit confused. I'm going to assume now, if you don't mind making, you know, granting me this assumption, that the Magen Avraham is waving the banner of the Shulchan Aruch. He's not waving the banner of the Ramah in this case. He says, "I will be ir sheyesh lo anoshim shedogim bavuro." The dead will be buried is mikra megillah kodem. Okay, there may be an exception to that rule in the case of a Talmud Chacham, but as a general rule, mikra megillah takes precedence over burying the dead, unless it's a real extreme mes mitzvah. And the Gra seems to accept the principle of the Magen Avraham Alocha. Achein kasa, but yet the Gra adds that im hischil lotzio, even if it's a case in the city where there are people who were involved in burial, if they already started the process, ein mafsikim be'emtza, because that would be a tremendous bizoyon, a humiliation to the mess if all of a sudden they stopped midway through the process of burial, left the corpse there unburied, and ran to hear the Megillah. The oz nidcha mikra megillah gamri, if they would have started the mikra megillah, started the kvuras ames, and then there's an issue of bizoyan ames, then we can trump the mitzvah of mikra megillah gamri, even if he will have by postponing the megillah, he will have no possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah of megillah. So if we take the Magen Avraham and the Gra and we put it into the Mechaber, then it would seem to me, at least, that when the Mechaber is saying that the mitzvah of Kvuras HaMes, in this extreme paradigm and case of Kvuras HaMes Ein Lo Kvorim, Mes Mitzvah Shein Lo Kvorim, that is on the high end of the scale. It's on top of Mikra Megillah. It means, even if it means we have to forfeit the Mikra Megillah, because if Ein Lo Kvorim, we're not involved in what we call Tosefes Kavod, but rather we're involved in Bizoyim. We have to avoid humiliating the deceased. And that has to be avoided at all costs, even if it means that we have to forfeit the mitzvah of Megillah. In the Ramah's frame of reference on the other side of the equation, the issue here of Kvuras HaMes means Tosefes Kavod, because we're talking about Ein Lo Kovrim Kidei Tzarko. And in such a case, although we will give precedence and priority in sequence to burying the dead, however, that's only because we'll eventually get around to reading the Megillah. So it's only a matter of postponement, and as we called it, sequence. So it's interesting that if you want to know, in the way we're presenting the machlokas between the Mechaber, together with the Magen Avraham and the Gra on one side of the spectrum, and the Ramah on the other, who's the Machmir and who's the Mekil? And there's really no absolute answer to that question. On the one hand, the Ramah is being Mekil, and he's saying that let's give the mess its due, even if we do have Kovrim, and all we need is Tosefes Kavod. So here's a Gevaldige Kula of the Ramah, the Tosefes Kavod will be enough to push off Megillah. But on the other hand, the Ramah is the great Machmir, because he's only willing to push off the Megillah. He's not willing to completely undermine Megillah. So it means that he will, at a later moment in time, have the ability to fulfill Megillah. The Mechaber, on the other hand, is the Machmir, but he's also the Mekil. He's the Machmir because he's only allowing you to trump Megillah because it's a mes mitzvah mamish, legamre, it's outside in the sud, it's ein lo kovrim. But on the other hand, he is a Mekil in that he's going to allow, for the sake of the mes mitzvah, to trump Megillah legamre, meaning even if he won't have the opportunity and the possibility to be Mekayim in the midst of Mikra Megillah.
Is this presuming that there's only one person available, or what if there are three people there?
Again, it depends. If you're going with the Ramah, three people might not be enough, because we need this Tosefes Kavod of a minion, and maybe even more than a minion. And that, again, might reflect the stature of the person who died, if he was a Talmud Chacham, if...
Okay.
But if you're asking me in the context of the Mechaber, once there are three people there and they can do the job, Okay, I don't know how many people it takes just to bury the dead, but let's say three would be sufficient. That if you're man number four, you would go to hear Mikra Megillah and you would ignore, so to speak, the mitzvah of Kvuras HaMes, because it's no longer a mes mitzvah she'ein lo kovrin. And therefore the Ramah, in his opening line here in the next Haggah, he writes V'chol Zeh, that's the second line from the top on page 302, he writes V'chol Zeh lo mayri ela b'de'ika shehus laso shtem. Avalim EF Shalaso Shtem ain't shum mitzvah doraisa nidches mipnei mikra megillah. Now let's try to understand what's going on. The Ramah is telling us that our issue of which comes first is just that, which comes first. He has enough time to do both of them. So even if he gives, you know, priority to the burial of the dead for the sake of Kvod Tosefes Kavod, he still has enough hours in the day to read the Megillah afterwards and fulfill that mitzvah as well. But what about a situation of Efshal Laso Shteyem? He says then the principle is Ein Shum Mitzvah Doraisa Nidcheis Mipnei Mikra Megillah. It seems to me that he is now taking the position that he will bury the dead. Let's see if I'm right. The Mishnah Berurah says in number test be ika shehus v'adin le'inyan mila u'megila ika shehus laso shtei megila kodem ishum pirsum nes. He says the following, that if it's a question of which comes first, then the exception to that rule was Kvuras mes mitzvah, but that was the only exception to the rule. As far as Mila is concerned, Mila fits into the general category of mitzvahs, and Megila comes first. That's called Barova Madras Mel. So we want to get everybody together for the public communal reading of the Megila, and we'll postpone the Bris Mila. Okay, then he quotes a minute that we first do the Mila. Fine, we're not ready for that yet. Oh. Now, what's the halacha in the case of the efshal akayim shneihem? Ratzalom shis batel ad mitzvah doraisa legamri im lo yasenu biyomahu, that the mitzvah, if he pushes it off, will not be able to be fulfilled on that day. If he doesn't fulfill it on that day, it won't be able to be fulfilled at all. And now let's fast forward for a moment to number Yud Aleph, which is the bottom right. Ein shum mitzvah doraisa nidches. V'nei shum mikra megillah hu rak d'rabbanan. So it's interesting. After all this work and sweat and toil to put Megillah on the top of the totem pole, with the exception of mes mitzvah, he's now whittling it down. He's saying that's only when you're pitting mitzvahs Megillah against another mitzvah derabbanan, or against the mitzvah d'oraisa, which could be fulfilled later. But if it's absolute triage, which meaning that we won't be able to fulfill both the mitzvah d'oraisa and the mitzvah Megillah, it's an either-or situation. So if he dedicates himself to hearing the Megillah, he will lose the opportunity of fulfilling his mitzvah d'oraisa. In such a case, we downgrade, so to speak, Megillah, because it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and a mitzvah d'rabbanan does not have an ability and a power to completely undermine and cancel a mitzvah d'oraisa. Despite the fact that this mitzvah d'rabbanan is on a very high level, we said it's pirsum hanes, and if it was an issue of which came first, we would certainly put Megillah first. But let's say we can't do both of them. Let's say if we would somehow we could orchestrate a situation in which if he involves himself in going to the Megillah, he won't be able to circumcise the child. The day will pass without circumcision. In such a case, for sure, we're going to undermine and cancel the mitzvah Megillah. Why? Because Mila is Doraisa and Megillah is only Derabbanan.
What about Mila versus I know it's not the subject here, Mila versus Mitzvahs on Mes?
In Mila versus Mitzvah HaMes, again, if it's a question of Kedima, then I would assume that for sure the Mes Mitzvah gets Kedima. As we saw here, Mes Mitzvah gets Kedima, even though Mila would not get Kedima, notwithstanding the minhag that he quotes at the end of Sifkat and Tez. But if it's a question of either or, and it's either burying the dead or the mitzvah of milah on this day, my intuition would tell me that we would definitely want to fulfill the mitzvah of mes mitzvah, because bizayon of the mess, again, I'm talking about a real McCoy mes mitzvah, you know, out in the field, that's something that has to override even the great mitzvah of milah. Now, I would add the following proviso, and that is that tomorrow you'll be able to do the milah. Now, admittedly, the mitzvah is on the eighth day and not on the ninth day, but if you don't do the milah on the eighth day, then you know, the fallback position is to do the milah on the ninth day. In the case of Kruas HaMes, I'm not going to say that, well, there's a fallback position that will bury the dead tomorrow. No. In the meantime, the animals are going to take apart the mess, or, chas v'shalom, you know, the birds, I don't know what. This is an urgent situation of mes mitzvah, it's ein lo kovrim. Now, if on the other hand, it's yesh lo kovrim, and then we're talking about Tosefes kovrim, because it's not lefi tzarko, then I would assume that the mitzvah of milo would trump the mitzvah of Kruas HaMes, in the Ramah's frame of reference. Now he writes in Sif Yud, Sif Kot Yud on the third line, he says, Umasha Kosu Lekamei, Dimi Efshal Lekoro Acherkach Yikre'en Kodem, Hosam Lo Yisbata Legamri Mitzvah Kvura. Okay, so let's keep our finger on this Mishnah Berurah and go back to the Ramah. The Ramah writes, Vaha, Dimes Mitzvah Kodem, Hainu Dafka, Bide Efshal Lekoro Acherkach. So if it's a situation where it's impossible to read the Megillah later, then read the Megillah now and bury the dead later. If it's impossible to do both Mikra Megillah and Mes Mitzvah on the same day, then Mitzvah's Mes Mitzvah, insofar as it's Doraisa, will trump the Mitzvah Megillah, and he will not hear the Megillah on that day. So the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah says the following, Masha Kosovu Kamedim Yefshal Lekora Achakach Yikre'enu kodem. And again, he's saying that hodem es mitzvah kodem hainu dafka b'de efshalo l'kora achar kach. He says the efshalo l'kora achar kach yikre'enu kodem. Oh, so I think we say good pshat here. The word kodem here should be emphasized, because he's saying that if it's an issue of kedima, of which comes first, so then we have to give kedima to Mikra Megillah, because he won't be able to get a Megillah later on. But if but Kruas HaMes will tolerate postponement, so they'll bury the mess a little bit later on. But in a case where it's impossible for them to, if they go to hear Megillah reading, there are not enough hours in the day to get back to the mess and bury the mess, then the mitzvah of burying the mess, which is Doraisa, would trump the mitzvah Drabanan of Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, in the bottom right, he quotes a Taz in the name of the Marshal in the Bach, Detamid Mikra Megillah Kodem Mishum Pirsum HaNes. Now, I'm not sure what he means here. You know, I always tell you that the word Kodem means first in priority, but he's going to, in terms of sequence, but he's going to do both mitzvahs. I'm not sure if that's what the word kodem means in this context, because if you take a look, the Mishnah Berurah is quoting this Taz as an addendum, as a comment on Ein Shum Mitzvah Doraisa Nidches. So it sounds like he's talking about the Chia.
Yeah, but how could they say that a drabanan is dochen a derais completely?
Even with, that's impossible.
Even with pirsum anisa, it's not possible.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to assume that the word kodem means kodem as we always interpreted it in terms of sequence. And I think what he's saying here is that assuming he can bury the dead later on, he should postpone burying the dead and give precedence and priority to Megillah. Even though, again, he could be Makai both of them. But right now, the Tzibur is getting together for Megillah. We have Perov HaMadras Melech. Postpone the burial of the dead. And again, I think he's talking about a Mes Mitzvah. And yet we're postponing a Mes Mitzvah. So the Taz is disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch and with the Rambam as well. And why does Mikra Megillah get precedence here over a mitzvah as severe and as significant as burying the dead? Because of Pirsum HaNes. This reminds us of the Gemara about someone who has enough money to buy one ner, and he could either use it for Ner Chanukah or Shabbos. And then the Gemara goes on to say, let's say he has only enough money for either Yayin for Kiddush or a ner for Chanukah. And the Gemara says that the ner for Chanukah trumps the mitzvah of Yayin for Kiddush because of Pirsum HaNes. So we've already seen how Pirsum HaNes goes, really shoots up high on the screen.
But in that second example, he could also make Kiddush over Challah.
Oh, let's assume he could make Kiddush over Chal. He would still give precedence to Ner Chanukah above and beyond Yayin LeKiddush. And the reason for that is because Ner Chanukah is Pirsum HaNes. We also mentioned the significance of Pirsum HaNes in terms of an Ani, that an Ani would have to sell the shirt off his back for the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. Here, I think what the Taz is saying, in the name of the Achronim that came earlier, is that Pirsum HaNes, in the case of Megillah, is so significant that it trumps even the mitzvah of Kfuras HaNes, but as Avi says so well before, that's only as far as Kedima is concerned. And he will bury the dead. Then he writes that the Gaon also agrees with this Taz. And if I understand correctly, this Sifkat Yud Aleph really just undermines everything that we've learned in the Mechaber and the Ramah.
Unless they're excluding Meis Mitzvah.
So in what case is he?
He's talking about every other Deraisa.
But isn't that something that we assumed before we saw the Taz?
Yeah, but he's just bringing the Taz and the Marshah. I mean, he's bringing the Taz.
No. Usually when he quotes the Taz, it's like a different sheet though. You know what? We should really open up the Taz and see what he says inside. Do I have access to the Taz? I have Hilchus Megillah in the tour, but that won't give us the Taz.
I may have it on my phone. I have the Safari.
It's right here behind the wall. You don't have any comment on the bottom there, do you?
I don't have the...
You don't have the...
I have the regular one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me just again read it again. The Ramah says, Ein shum mitzvah d'oraisa nidches. Right? Ein shum... Right, that's nidches. But as far as priority is concerned, then we said that mes mitzvah comes first, but that was the exception to the rule. So if we go back to the rule itself on the previous page, it says that v'vatl Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah, and then we said ein lecha davar shenidcha Mikra Megillah mipana.
Kitzur Taz would be okay.
We can try it. I don't know. The problem is that, you know, the Taz may have many, many comments here on this Siman. We'll have to identify which one is relevant to us.
I don't need to research. Which Siman is it?
Yeah, this is Siman Tofresh Pei Zion. Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's just see if by chance any of the other commentaries here say anything. He says, "Did the Efshar in the Berhete from Samach leChashecha Yikra Megillah the Mis Mitzvah Efshar leKobra Balayla?" So again, it's possible to do both mitzvahs, and therefore, if Mikra Megillah is going to go down the tubes, because it's much more time sensitive, then we have to read the Megillah. Well, Imu Beinshi Efshar leKobra. And then it's a triage situation, then Bevada Yidoche Mikra Megillah.
And he quotes the Taz. I'm not going to bother the Taz. So obviously the Taz is excluding Meis Mitzvah in its previous statement.
Nochamal, this is the same Taz as the Taz we saw in the Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see it again.
The Taz here says Meis Mitzvah
says
is
part of the...
Didn't he have Sholokovro So obviously, when he says before, Tomid Mikra Migila Kodam, he's not referring to Mason and Tzimah. Because then the Tazis would be sorcery each other.
Why would he be sorcery himself? Let's see. Here he's saying in the name of the Taz that if it's coming close to Shkia, the end of the day, then he should read the Megillah. But if that's only because he can bury the dead at night, so what does that have to do with the other
Taz?
Right. Right, so again, I'm going to say the following, that as a general rule, Mes Mitzvah will come first. If it's impossible to postpone Mikra Megillah, then Mikra Megillah will come first because the possibility of delaying and postponing Kvuras HaMes. If it becomes impossible to postpone Kvuras HaMes, then certainly Kvuras HaMes comes first. That's what we have.
Right.
But here, in the Taz quoted by the Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph, he's saying the following, Tamid Mikra Megillah Kodem, that the Taz is assuming that Mikra Megillah would come first because of Pirsum HaNes. If we're going to apply that to Kvuras HaMes, then you're saying that's a contradiction to this Taz, because the Taz is saying that Megillah is going to come first only because he's going to lose it. And it's right before Shkia, let's say, right before Chashecha. But otherwise, the assumption would be that Kvuras HaMes would come first. If it's only an issue of Kedima, which comes first. So how could then the Taz turn around and say that Tomid Mikra Megillah? But you know, it's not. It's. I think that's shoddy scholarship. I mean to say, he's saying Taz in the name of the Marshal and the Bach, and here he's quoting the Taz. I don't know what's right here. I really honestly think we need a Taz. Maybe I'll take a break and try to bring in a Taz. What are we up to? Tafresh Pei Zayin, correct? Let's see if I have the right chelek. Tafresh Pei Zayin. Oh, this is looking promising. And let's see. Okay. Taz says the following. Wow. This is a very long Taz. So the question is, can we zoom in on the part that's relevant to us? I'm hoping... Wow, he goes through a whole long discussion here about a Rambam and a Ran. Chutz mi mes mitzvah. Are we able to find the Taz that's relevant to us? Bar Kasavti. One second over here, he says, "Mashal, the Mokum Shomer Bazeh Ader Telios Nidche, Lidchos Es An Nidchel Gamay Afilu Leka Shavus Acherkach." I'm not sure if I'm on the right, because there's so much here in the Taz. But I'll tell you. Let me just tell you what I think is going on here. This is Tuf Reish Pei Zayin, am I right?
Yes.
So, he says, Pshita B'Gemara, the Mes Mitzvah Adif Mi Megillah. Okay. But then he writes, Milvad She'in, in Kiyum Dimishon, and said, Dvarv Sosrim Zetzechila Kosav Rama, Avalim Efshalaso Shtei Mashmu Deshar Mitzvahs, is Kodemes Lemegillah. Ubisov Kosav Dafkar Be Efshal Likros Acharkach, Mashmu Be Ein Efshal Likros Acharkach Megillah Kodemes Lemes Mitzvah, Bekolshkin Shekodemes Leshar Mitzvahs. So what's he saying over here? I mean, this language is a bit obscure. He's saying that it seems that if it's ein efshar likros achakach, then Megillah Kodemus. What does he mean by Megillah Kodemus? Again, it's only a Kedima.
Only because the day passes, it's not possible.
Right. But I'm saying that the mess can be buried later on. Is that what's going on over here? And then he says, Loshen Rambam More, that Bichlal Zev Vadai Gam Heim Nidochim Lagamre. And even if it would be Nidchel Gamri, Megillah would still come first. Is he referring to a Doraisa as well? He says, Vani eni roa ho chokhmiz elahaskim la ran, that Tosus koya loshen a Talmud, shomer vatlin avoda. Persume Nisa Odif. Wow. You hear what he's talking about? He's saying, Yefshal Kayim Shneim. Again, I don't know if he's talking about Mesvitzah, if he's talking about a Doraisa. This is all based on a Ran. This whole discussion revolves around the Ran. Now let's see if we can identify at what point here he presents the shita of the Ran. Kol sheshneim lefonov, shneim yeshuhus tuva, is lo tem mishum persume anes betzibi yaktim amegila kamash vazelo ichpaslam bepersume nisal korei osa biyachidus acherkach. Aval im ein shuhus acherkach mizelo maria Rambam. What happens? He won't have time later on to read the Megillah. And Kosav Aran Umiu Dafka Kshiyacholim Achakach LaHashlim HaVoda. So the Ran is talking about a case where he has a choice. He has a tug of war between Megillah and Avoda. He's a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's Efshar LaHashlim HaVoda B'Lav Hach. Meaning, even if he goes to Megillah, he'll be able to be Mashlim LaAvoda. If he won't be able to be mashlim the avoda, vare ein mevatlin avoda doraisa mishum megillah drabbana. The kashali al zeh dohamrina b'megillah, that megillah odif mi talmud torah, and talmud torah is nitches legamre. And right now he has a chiyuv talmud torah that he won't be able to replace that chiyuv talmud torah, and yet he drops that mitzvah for the sake of mikra megillah. He can't make up that hour that he lost. So the logic here, the Taz, it seems that even when we're going to completely uproot a mitzvah for the sake of Megillah, that's exactly what we're going to do. And if we're going to do that in the case of Talmud Torah, how much more so in the case of Avoda, because Talmud Torah is Adif Me Avoda. This is pretty way out here. He's saying that Ani Eini Roa Hochach Bizela Haskim Laran Tosus Koy Alosh and Atam Shom Vatlam Avodosom the Hainu Bizman Avoda B'chol Yom Shumishahera Yom Al Zemakshim Hayesh Lo Shuhus Ach Kakol Yom Aval I Mikri. If it happens, the lo nases havoda ad shok tana kodim kalos shir shalah. What happens if the avoda wasn't done and there's a very small, short window of time to fulfill the avoda? The yeshlefon of mikra megillah is enochinami de megillah docha havoda legamre. That's the word legamre. Kevin she efshal kaim shneim is persume nisa odif kain niril anias daiti. Now again, I don't know where the marshal is coming in here. That I haven't figured out yet. But I could tell you that the Taz is willing to be doche both Talmud Torah and Avodah Legamri if need be, for the sake of Pirsum Anes. If the Mitzvah Megillah is on the line, he's voting in favor of the Mitzvah Megillah, even against the Avodah and even against Talmud Torah. He writes, Hagaz zu kula midivrei Haran v'Mizrach, kfar kasavti mashesh l'hakshel sel zev, v'gam morichami. Or he is referring to the Bach. Piresh divrei atur al pi aderch iskarti v'somuch, ken kosev v'shem ha-marshal. The makom sha'amru bazeh odif tfei, hainu afilu nidchosus and nidcha legamri, afilu lekeshus achaka. Again, I don't know what's going on in terms of mes mitzvah. I can't tell you, but what I could tell you is that if we go back to the Mishnah Brura on the bottom of the right column, here, number Yud Aleph, he says, "I am betaz b'shem arshalabet the tamid mikra megila kodem mishum persume nisa." The word tamid, it definitely means even legamre, even when there won't be shahus to be makayim the other mitzvah, if Megillah is on the line here and there won't be a possibility Megillah and Pirsum Anes is docha, even the avodah and the Talmud Torah. Again, I'm a little inhibited to apply that to Mes Mitzvah, but I'm just telling you what's going on here. Now, how far do we go? Do we finish Yud Beis in the Mishnah Berurah?
No.
Okay, so let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam says, "V'hodem es mitzvah kodem ani dafka b'de'ef shalo l'kara acharkach." Again, here the word kodem I think means kedima. Oh, avol imu somach l'chashecha yikur b'megila dom es mitzvah shalo kovro laila. That we read. Hinei zeh hetik Rambam b'shem ma'ara mizrachi. I guess that's Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi. Avol kama achronim cholkom as the sof me'afil ba'ofet sheidoch amil legamrei. Gamke mes mitzvah kodem mishum kovet abrios. So that's what we suggested in the Mechaber. And earlier we said that there are others who who would definitely, you know, rally around this sheet of that for the sake of kovet abrios, in the case of mes mitzvah, we have to give it kedima to Megillah, even to the extent that we'll have to forfeit the mitzvah Megillah. You won't have a Megillah afterwards. That we're only going to apply that rule to the case of Ein Lo Kovra, means the mess is out in the fields. But if it's not a mess mitzvah, then it doesn't have the power to trump the mitzvah Megillah. Even if we'll come to the conclusion that with regard to a regular mess who's not a mess mitzvah, then still we would assume that the mitzvah of kvura should come first. So again, would it be that for Tosefes Kavod we're gonna completely be Doche Megillah? And he says that there is such an opinion that we'll completely be Doche Megillah for the sake of Mes Mitzvah. Again, even though the Mes could be buried later on, but for the sake of Kavod Abrios. But then he goes on to say that no, if it's only an issue of Tosefes Kavod, that doesn't trump the Mitzvah Megillah. Again, it might give kedima to the mitzvah mes mitzvah, but not to completely undermine mitzvah's Megillah. And therefore, even in Shar Mason, where there's a kiyum of kovod abrios, that might allow us to postpone the mikra of Megillah. But to go as far as to say that for Tosefes Kavod we're going to completely forego and forfeit the mitzvah Megillah, that far we're not going to go. So although there are achronim who are willing for the sake of Mes Mitzvah and the Kavod Abrios of Tosefes Kavod completely forfeit the Mitzvah Megillah, he says, no, we're not going to accept that opinion. and therefore we would prefer that he clings on, he's aduk to the mitzvah of Megillah. And even if you'll grant me that, according to one opinion, that there's a din of kedima of kvura even in Shaar Meisim, but in a case where you'll completely forfeit the mitzvah Megillah, that far we're not going to go. And this brings us up to Tafresh Pei Ches. Now, just before we go on, I'm not going to try to tell you that we did a completely adequate job here. You see that this whole discussion here is so complicated for many reasons. First of all, you have to clarify what and who is a mes mitzvah, and we have two different approaches on that. Number two, you have to really get heavy into the issue of kedima on the one hand versus what I call triage on the other hand, where it's ef shalakayim shneim. And then you have to go through the shitas and the achronim and the taz and the difference between the mechaber and the ramah. But at least we did whatever we did. Okay, now when do we read the Megillah? So in Tafresh Pei Ches, he has a Megillah reading on the 15th of Adar. And that applies to Krachim, Hamukafim, Choma, Mimos, Yoshua, Ben Nun. Afilu, Eina, Mukafim, Achshav, Korim, Betesvav. Any city that was walled at the time of Yoshua, Ben Nun, even though now, today, it's not walled, they will read the Megillah on the 15th. Okay. Now the Mechaber adds, "Afilu heim im heim b'chutz laretz." I don't know exactly what he has in mind. If we take the case of Shushan, that's not going to help us because Shushan was not walled at the time of Yoshua ben Nun. But let's say the archaeologists will come up to some definite proof that a particular city in Syria or in the middle of Europe was Mukaf Choma Bimos Yeshua Ben Nun. According to the Mechaber, at least they would read the Megillah on the 15th. Now the Mishnah Berurah wants to give us a lot of background to appreciate this halacha of Mukafim Choma. He says at the time of Mordechai, when the Nesek, when the miracle unfolded, Hayehudim shebechol makom nilchamu biyom yud gimel v'nachu biyom yud dalet. So the day of resting for all the Jews outside of Shushan was on the 14th. V'asu mishne v'simcha. So on that day of rest, after they had completed the battle, they established mishne and simcha. However, in Shushan, where the Jews got another extra day to battle against the Akkum, even on the 14th of Adar, they were destroying our enemies, they didn't have the possibility of making Yudalid into a Yontif, because that day was the day of Melchama. So therefore, their yontif gets postponed for one day until Tesvav, because that's the day of Nachu Mi'oivehem. So that's on the 15th. Okay, that's as far as Shushan is concerned. But what does that have to do with other cities? He says, Kevan Shemosozman Nechleku L'Shnei Yomim. Already at the time of the establishment of Purim, at the time of Mordechai, they established two different days. So once they were separating Klal Yisrael, sort of like dividing them, a very rare occasion where, you know, I mean, it's Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis, but it's very rare that one segment of Klal Yisrael celebrates a Yom Tov on one day and the other segment of Klal Yisrael on another day. That's what we have here in the case of Purim, Yudalit and Tesvav. But they went a step further. L'chein kishakol ha-mordechai v'ester v'askomas anshei knesset gedola l'kvoa Purim l'doros. Chilku gam kein oso l'shnei yomim, just like in the original celebration at the time of the miracle. They differentiated between the 14th and the 15th. So too, kova mordechai v'ester l'doros l'chalei gam kein l'shnei yomim, for all generations. In other words, we're duplicating what went on in the original. And to, you know, following the nest itself. And therefore, it would make sense to say that any city that's walled like Shushan should read on Tesvav. So if you had a city that was not walled at the time of Yoshua, but it was walled subsequently, they should be no different than Shushan, and they should observe Purim on the 15th. That would be the logic. Vayaroi litlos hakavod b'shushan uletakein shekol ir shehivu kefes chomu b'mos achashverosh yikru b'tesva. In other words, once they set up Tesvav for the sake of Shushan, because only on the 15th did they rest from the Melcham against Amalek, now we want to expand that fulfillment of Purim on the 15th, and we should include any city that's similar to Shushan. We're giving honor to Shushan. No, if we're honoring a city that's similar to Shushan, it means that it was walled at the time of the miracle of Purim, but it wasn't necessarily walled at the time of Yoshua. So he says, Roy Lislos Hakovod B'Shushan Utaken Shekol Ir Shimu Kefes Choma Mimos Achashverosh Yikru B'Tesvav Achkev Of. Now I'm pretty sure he's quoting the Ramban here. I don't know if he'll mention the Ramban by name. Achkev On She'eretz Yisrael Hoysa Chareva B'Oso Eis V'Yel Fizeh Ayoros Mukofos B'Chutzlaretz Chashuvos Mehen. In other words, if you have a walled city in Chutz Laaretz, it'll have more of a stature than a walled city in Eretz Yisrael. Al kein tiknu lichvod Eretz Yisrael shekol ir shehimu kefes mimos Yoshua ben Nun yikru b'tesvav afal pi she'ein mukafas achshav. So they made a takana lichvod Eretz Yisrael that any city that was walled from the time of Yoshua ben Nun we'll read on Tesvav, even though now it's not walled. And the remainder of Klal Yisrael will read the Megillah on the 14th. Levat Shushan. Now, what's unique about Shushan? Afal pi she'eino mukefes mimos Yoshua ben Nun. That's the paradox of Shushan. Is afilu hachi korim b'tesvav mishum shebo Nasa Hanes. So let's just see if we can understand what this idea, how this idea of Kavod Le'eretz Yisrael applies in this particular context. If not for this Takana, then any city like Shushan, even if it's in Chutz Laaretz, is going to read on Tesvav. But a city in Eretz Yisrael would read on Yudal. Just 1 second. So Mishum Kvoda Shel Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to say that if it was walled at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, what's the insult here to Eretz Yisrael? I'm not sure I follow this.
If you say Mimos Achashverosh,
right,
then you're saying that the cities outside of Eretz Yisrael are more covered than the cities inside Eretz Yisrael.
Which what? The cities that are not Mukafas Choma?
Right.
But that doesn't make any sense, because if the cities are not Mukafas Choma,
if they weren't Mukafas Choma,
then they'll read on Yidalit, and that's true for both Chutz Laaretz and Eretz. I don't see the difference here. In other words, let's say the question is, at what point in time were they Mukafas Choma? If you take the point of Shushan, then they're equal in Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael. If you take the point of Yoshua, they're also equal. I don't see where we're giving an inferior, you know, where we're giving a slap in the face to Eretz Yisrael here. Right? What are you telling me? You're telling me that if it was Mukafas Chomus in Chutz Laaretz,
but not in Eretz
at the time of Shushan,
the time of Ahasuerosh, but not in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, so the same thing applies in Chutz Laaretz, if it wasn't Mukafas Chom at the time of Achashverosh. But on the other hand, let's say you had a city that in Eretz Yisrael that was Mukafas Chom Mimos Achashverosh. They have the same. Where do you compare the two cities, one in Chutz Laaretz, one in Eretz Yisrael, and you downgrade the?
Well, if they're comparable, then you're not.
But you're. No, saying, I'm saying I'm looking for
but
some.
But you're being told of the whole thing in Achashverosh, which is Chutz Laaretz.
Ah, that's what he means.
I think that's what he means. So you're not going to have any cities in Eretz Yisrael that were walled in the time of Ahasuerush because they were all destroyed. So you're not going to have any reading in Tezvav in Eretz Yisrael.
The Yil of Fizah, Yoros Mukafos Bechutzlaritz Chashuvos Mehen.
Right, because you're going to have walled cities in Chutzlaritz, but you're not going to have any walled cities.
The theoretical definition of the halacha would not be an insult to Eretz Yisrael, but the Metzias is going to be. I was working with the principle.
The theoretics.
Yeah, in the theoretics. In the theoretics, it's the same. You know, we're not giving a low yardstick to Eretz Yisrael. We're not giving an insult to Eretz Yisrael. But practically, because there are no cities in Eretz Yisrael at the time of Achashverosh that are walled, so therefore you can end up with no cities in Eretz Yisrael reading on Tezvav, and all the cities in Chutz, let's say there are 10 of them that are Mukefas Kol and Mimos Achashverosh, they'll all be reading on Tezvav. Why is reading the Megillah on Tezvav a Kol? You know, let's just think about that. Maybe it means because the Ness in Shushan is even greater. I'm just thinking out loud. I mean, you could certainly sharpen your knives here, but maybe the Ness is greater in Shushan than it is outside of Shushan. What do I mean? If the Melchama and a victorious Melchama for the Jews, if that continues even longer and they're defeating more of their adversaries, you know, that's greater. That's a greater miracle.
You know, the miracle of the day that they were able to,
right? So paradoxically, it comes out that postponing Megillah reading by one day or Purim by one day
is a greater
Pirsum HaNes.
Right.
And imagine that we'll be Mefarsim the Ness and the greater Pirsum HaNes in Chutzlars and not in Eretz Yisrael. It would be almost like saying the following: that on Hanukkah in New York City, we're going to light 8 candles on the 8th night, but in Eretz Yisrael we're going to light 1 candle on the 8th night. You know, the Pirsum HaNes is that much greater in New York than it is in Eretz Yisrael. That we don't want to do. So since B'Metzius, if we're talking about Achashverosh as the dateline, that you're going to have an empty set in Eretz Yisrael, so that whole extra kiyum of Tosefes Pirsum, by the fact that it's another day of Melchama, and we killed another 75,000 members of Amalek in Shushan, that's going to be completely gone in Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's interesting. What would be if we took Achashverosh's timeline and there were, let's say, 10 cities in Chutz Laretz that fit that bill, and therefore they read the Megillah in 50, and there are only 5 cities like that in Eretz Yisrael? Could be that.
That wouldn't bother.
But when we're left with a zero set, that in Eretz Yisrael there's no kiyum of Tezvav at all, and there's no possibility anywhere in Eretz Yisrael of being mefarsim that extra day of Melchama, that's kind of an insult to Eretz Yisrael. All right. Al kein tiknu lichvod Eretz Yisrael shekol ir shi mukefes mimos Yoshua ben Nun. And then we have a whole bunch of cities that fit that description. Yikru b'tesvav, afal pishena mukafos achshav, mizvashar biyudalu levad mishushan sheaf pishena mukefes mi mos Yoshua ben Nun afilochi kor b'tesvav neishav bo nase hanes. So Shusha becomes paradoxically the exception to the rule rather than the rule. Now at this point, we should ask the following question. What cities actually fit this description? So far I didn't see the Mechaber get into this. Maybe later on he'll address this, because Tveria, for example, in the Gemara and the Megillah is a big to-do. It's a suffix whether or not it was actually walled at the time of Yoshua ben Nun. So when the Mechaber says Krochim Abukof M'chomam, he's talking about Vadai, I think. You know, there are clear-cut cities that are unquestionable. Let's assume Yerushalayim would fit that bill. But then there are other cities that are suffek. What would the Mechaber say about that? You know, one argument would be, let's read the Megillah on both days, you know, to cover our bases.
Weren't all cities that existed at that time surrounded by walls?
No. In fact, we don't know of too many cities that really fit the bill. Maybe five, maybe. That's the, again, keep in mind, Phil, we're talking about cities that still exist today.
Correct.
You know, if let's say you would turn it into runes and nobody's reading the Megillah in those cities. But in cities that are populated today, you have three categories. You have cities that were definitely not Mukaf Choma at the time of Yeshua. You have cities that were definitely Mukaf Choma. And in the middle, you have a bunch of Sfeikas, like Tveria, as we said. The Gemara vacillates back and forth. So what would you do in the case of Tveria? You might say, Safek Terabana Lekula. But then what are you going to do? You're not going to read Megillah on either of the 2 days? Or maybe you're going to say, Rove, read the Megillah on the 14th. So therefore, we'll attach them to the 14th. But it's interesting, as far as reading it on the 15th, you know, if you only had this Machaber, this statement of the Shulchan Aruch, you would get the impression that it's got to be Vada. He doesn't address a case of a Safek. He's talking about cities that clearly fit this description of Hamukafim Choma Mimos Yoshua Bin Nun. Now it's interesting that in the laws of Arim, of cities, you know, there are many halachas all over the place that deal with a city, the status of a city. And generally speaking, when we talk about a city, what differentiates a city from, let's say, a kfar, for example, because we're going to have a whole different reading of the Megillah for the kfarim, is that the city is endowed with what's called asara batlon. So they have a built-in minion, so to speak. You know, there are 10 people who are not going to work, and all they do is they sit in the shul, they read tillim, or they're there always for a minion. You know, these are the people who sit in the shtivlach for the whole day. And you might argue that the concept of krach for the 15th should be built on and extended from the ear. You know, the krach is that much greater than the city. So if the basic definition of an ear is yesh bo asar batlonim, then a krach with a kolshke should have batlonim. And that's what the Ramah comes lafuki here. And again, this is a very heavy issue and very controversial. Many people, many poskim disagree with the Ramah. But the Ramah says that Afilu Aimbem Asar Batlon and Pirish Batalibi Malachtam, the Oskim Tsarke Sibur, is nevertheless it's still a krach. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Yeshman Arishonim Shecholkim Alze, Usvirlo, who they are of the opinion against the Machabed, the Bekrach Hamukav Choma, only if it has Asar Batlon, and then it reads on the 15th, but Im Aimba Asar Batlonim is Karen Biyudalid. Because again, a krach is an ear plus, you know, it's a metropolis that's even greater than an ear. If the basic definition of an ear as opposed to a kfar is asor batlon, then certainly in the case of a krach we need asor batlon. Ubiyad Ephraim mitzadeh diyesh lachush l'shitosam likros gam b'yudal. Here's the first time that we've encountered this is a double kriya, a kriya on the 14th and on the 15th. But it's not about our case of Tveria, but rather it's about a case of a large city that was definitely walled at the time of Yeshua, but unfortunately does not have Asara Batlonim. And whereas the Mechaber would say they have to read on the 15th, many other Rishonim disagree and say that it's not a krach, even with all the respect to it being walled, it's not a krach because it doesn't have Asara Batlonim. And the Yad Ephraim tells us that we should go L'chumra and read the Megillah on both days, on both Yudalid and Tesvah. Now it's interesting, we have to point out that this requirement of Asar Batlonim, according to those Rishonim, he quotes the Ramban and the Rashbah, for Krach and Tesvah, that's not to be equated with Mukefes Choma. Mukefes Choma means it was Mukaf Choma back in the time of Yeshua, even though today it's not Mukaf Choma. But in the case of Asar Batlonim, we're talking about now. Now we need Asar Batlonim. And if Asar Batlonim is a Tanai, is a precondition in Krach and Tesvav, then it means that right now we have to have Asar Batlonim. Don't tell me that yesteryear we had Asar Batlonim. That's not gonna cut the mustard.
With the bracha on both days?
Oh, so that can't be. I'll tell you why. Because we have a principle in brachas called Safek Brachas Lahakim. The only issue is going to be when to make the bracha. We're going to get into that heavy. There's a whole siman here about brachos. And the general rule is that when you're in doubt, you always make the bracha on the 14th and not on the 15th. So, Rabosa, let's just make a note of where we got to today. and we'll stop here about Mukaf Choma on the second line on page 303, which is here listed as Kufnun Beis. Okay then? So that's where we want to stop.
All right. Yeah.